Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
The Lord Jesus Christ commands the New Testament church to go into all the world and make disciples. In Mark 16:15, Jesus said to his disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The Great Commission in the book of Matthew says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." There is a huge distinction between a mere believer in Christ and one who becomes a disciple of our Lord. Remember that Jesus Christ loves you, but he does not want his children to ignore nor despise his commandments. Enjoy this wonderful series of messages entitled "The Cost of Being a Disciple," and learn what the distinction is between a mere believer and a follower of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear us here on Freedom 95 every Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m., and join us this morning at 10 a.m. at the Cambria Hotel in Noblesville, Hamilton Hall Conference Room, exit 210 off of I-69, or find us on Facebook, YouTube, or our website under Crown of Life Baptist Church. email me at gdezula@gmail.com. That's gdezula, G-D-Z-U-L-A. I look forward to hearing from you soon. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. This is part two.
Christ in his parable of the sower and seed spells out the three reasons why disciples fall away. We talked about this Wednesday night. Willingly ignorant, fear of persecution, or the cares of this world. These non-loyalists are the tares in the parable of the wheat and tares that is a little bit later in the book of Matthew 13. These same believers in John chapter 8 do not continue in his word, but become offended by his continual teaching and attempt to kill him by stoning. Now, when the word says many who believed upon him, okay, many would mean what? More than 50%, right? You think? Could it mean just 25%? Could it mean 85%? Many believed. Okay? Now, hear me. If many believed, and Jesus wasn't talking to those who didn't believe, he was talking to those who were non-believers as he continues preaching in chapter 8, and they're about to stone him and take him out and stone him, don't you think those who believed would have prevented it? Right? They would have interceded and said, no, you're not. But the many who believed were complicit. They were the ones who were going to stain him, to stone him. That, my friend, is something to really meditate upon. That we as believers ourselves could do that, stone Jesus, because they didn't continue in his word. What does the word do? It cuts like a knife into your soul and spirit and flesh and bone and marrow to sever the unclean things from the clean things. And it goes down into the warp of the woof of our body and it cleanses. And we have to allow it to cleanse. When it touches something we don't want to take out of our life, what happens? People fall away from the church. They get mad at the preacher. They get offended. They get offended. Because they don't let that word go deep into the recesses of our heart. The word of God it's also pain is like this, but the word of God is like a plow, that John Deere plow, turning up the soil of your heart. That hard heart, turning up the soil. What made John Deere famous was he took the cast iron plows and made steel plow blades that was able to tear up the prairie land out here so it could be farmed. The surface of the prairie land, it was rich underneath, but was hard as steel. And they needed a plow that wouldn't break. The cast iron plows weren't strong enough. But the steel plow, and John Deere wasn't from the Midwest. He was from Vermont. And he took blades that he was getting from Europe that were made of alloyed steels. And they were coming up with cutting blades, and he fashioned them. He was a blacksmith in Vermont and fashioned them into a plow. And so it's a plow that's plowing through the hardness of our hearts. The word of God can, other seeds can be planted, the seed of the kingdom can be planted in our hearts. Does that make sense? Disciples can turn back from following him. Note the distinction in the following passage where Jesus, preaching on the bread of life, this is a test of doctrine with disciples. John chapter 6, verse 65 through 68. And he said, therefore I said, now remember, Jesus is preaching on the bread of life. And he was saying, I am the bread. My body is going to be broken for you. Eat of my body. Eat of my flesh. He was talking in a spiritual sense. Drink of my blood. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back. They slid, backslidden Christians, backslidden believers. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Amen. The above passage does not imply that they were not true believers, as some may teach, but that they are no longer disciples. They have fallen away. They are castaways. They have fainted from the faith. They have moved away. Let's look at some of those passages. Luke 8:13. Luke 8:13 says, now here is the parable of the sower, in which you find in Matthew chapter 13. Here you find it in Luke 8. Just slightly worded, slightly different. But 8:13, and they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation, what? Fall away. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 6. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 6. I mark these in my Bible so I can get to them quickly, so just let me keep going, because you don't want to stay until 5, do you? I can send somebody out for snacks. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. They shall fall away. In Peter, 2 Peter 3:17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Who's he talking to? Believers. Don't fall from your own steadfastness. Don't fall into error. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. There's a great falling away today. Churches are falling, are closing down. Mosques are being built. Sheikh temples are being built. But churches are falling away. Oh, there are a multitude of people like ourselves starting, planting a new church. There's many of them all over the country that are starting, different phases of starting. But there are also many that are falling away. closing their doors, just walking away from the building. Castaway, Paul worried about this in his own life in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul was concerned about not being a castaway. Let's start with verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race, all but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. What does that mean? Every man that striveth for the masteries is temperate in all things. You think of those young ladies on the U.S. gymnastics team. To be the masters of their profession, their skill sets, their vaulting and dance routines and everything like that, and get the gold medal. They have divorced themselves from all the pizza parties and all the sock hops and all the other things that go on at school, and hanging out at the pool during the summertime and hanging with their friends on the weekends. Their lives are turned upside down. They don't live the life of a normal child. And that goes for many athletes. Those who master their sport is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He's taking the boxing that he's talking about and boxing, the physical boxing, and applying it in a spiritual sense. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul, the Apostle Paul, worried about that. Does that make sense? He says, I'm not shadow boxing here. I am beating my body into submission. Now that doesn't mean you go home and find a whip and start beating yourself. It means spiritually bringing your body into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Does that mean he's not saved? Does that mean he loses his salvation? The Arminius would say he could lose his salvation. No, he's lost his discipleship. He lost hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant, at the judgment seat. But he's still saved and he has eternal life, but he loses his reward. A fainted, you see that? Fainted from the faith. 2 Corinthians 4:1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Faint not. In verse 16, near the end of that chapter, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is what is but a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So you're perishing on the outside. Not me. Not me, I'm not perishing on the outside. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Yeah. Lost my hair when I was 30. Perishing, we're perishing on the outside. Yet inward man is renewed day by day. the inward man is renewed day by day. We need to renew it. Don't faint. Don't fall away. Don't give up. And it goes on. We could look up all those verses. You could go on and look those up. Roman numeral 2. The demands upon a disciple appear impossible. The demands upon a disciple appear impossible. Let's look at Matthew chapter 10. It says in verse 16, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for the testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak." The Holy Spirit knows what you're going through. He knows when you're going to be thrown in jail for your faith. He'll give you the words. If you have been faithful enough to be thrown in jail, the Holy Spirit is going to reward you because of your faith and your knowledge of the Word of God, what to say at that very moment. You don't have to take a script with you into prison, because it's in the recesses of your heart. Has God's Word been plowing through your field of your heart? It has been planting and growing and nurturing. Verse 21. "And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child." Does this go on today? In other countries, right? In other countries. In third world countries, this is going on. "And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child." What do you think goes on in North Korea? They have one of the best perfected neighborhood watch. Squeal on your neighbor on everything. "And the children shall rise up against their parents." Why do you think the public school wants to train your baby? Rise up against mom and dad, especially those who love Jesus, to pluck that seed out of their hearts, that teaching. What is mom teaching you at home, huh? She's saying you can't watch TV until you get your homework done? Are they spanking you at home? You know, Janet, remember Crown of Life 1.0? I remember a lady came to me and asked me for some advice about her grandbaby, the way she behaved. No, I think it was the mother. The grandmother came to our church, and the mother came once in a while. Mother came. I think it was her asking me. I said, "Did you try spanking?" You know what was her response? She goes, "Can I do that? Can I do that?" That's where we're at. That's where we're at. Verse 21. Verse 22. "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." I've been teaching you wrong. It's a works gospel. You to get eternal life, you have to work your way to heaven. I've been teaching you all wrong. Well, look what it says there. "But he that endureth to the end shall be saved." So that means you won't have eternal life if you can't handle the pressure cooker, your friends falling away from you, your brother turning you into the authorities. I've taught you before, I've taught this, there's a twofoldness of divine truth. twofoldness of divine truth. This saved here is the saved that's equivalent to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Not the salvation that we're learning in John. Let me find a passage real quick. Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You are a tripart being. That means just as there's the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit of the divinity. Oh, and some of the Bibles are trying to take that out of the scriptures. But you are a tripart being. Means you have three parts. Verse 23, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have a spirit, you have a soul, and you have a body. Your body, should the Lord tarry, dies, right? Even though you're saved, it dies. That physical body dies. There's three parts to salvation. We've been studying justification and sanctification. Justification is you were saved. Sanctification is you're being saved through the washing of God's word. That's the walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. But then there's glorification, which is you will be saved, your body will be saved someday at the resurrection. And that body will come back out of the graves and be renewed.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.